Okay. So that's better. Okay. Okay. So first of all, thank you to the Getzels for hosting and having us in their house, and to Hashem more shiur and more kaddish in the home. Only good things, Bezos Hashem. And we are, from what I understand, I also thank you to the people who arranged the shiur, took the initiative to prepare it, to prepare whatever got involved to prepare the shiur, and also, you know, organize the concept to get together, Rosh Chodesh and other, or around Rosh Chodesh for a shiur. It's a very, very beautiful thing, and Rosh Hashem, it should bring more bracha to the neighborhood, to the community. And this shiur and all the subsequent shiur, I understand, are also as a schos, le'ilu nishmas, Malka Bas Maza. Okay. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about Simcha, the Midah of Simcha. And obviously, it's coming Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, and Rosh Chodesh Adar is Marbim B'Simcha. And even if you have a kasha, well, it's only Adar Rishon. So Adar Rishon, is it really time for Simcha yet? So the answer is that, yeah, it's the time for Simcha, even Adar Aleph. And the Marsha says that Adar, on an Ibriyar, you get double Simcha, 2 months of Simcha, and the Mishnah Adar starts now, the Marbim B'Simcha. So we have an opportunity to really focus on the Midah of Simcha, and think about how to apply it in our lives. So first, let's talk a little bit about what Simcha is. Second of all, why an Adar? Why is this the month for Simcha? And Rosh Chodesh, we mentioned Simcha many times. It should be a month of Sasan B'Simcha. We really focused on trying to and bring back the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash B'Simcha. So let's understand that a little bit. Also, we know that in the Torah itself, it says that the Avera, the punishment for not being B'Simcha, is the Teuchacha itself. The Teuchacha itself, which is all the curses given to Klal Yisrael in the Parshas Kisavoy. Why did we get them? Because we were not Atachas Hashem Avartem Es Hashem Lekach B'Simcha. Because you didn't do the mitzvahs B'Simcha, means you did do the mitzvahs, but you didn't do the B'Simcha. That was the reason why we all of a sudden get all of the terrible punishments that it talks about. How could that be? We did everything, but we didn't do B'Simcha. That's so bad. What is the significance? Why is there such an emphasis on this Midah of Simcha? And most importantly, because I was given instructions that we have to talk about a little bit L'maisa, can't just leave it. So how do we bring Simcha into our life also? What does it mean to act B'Simcha, to be B'Simcha? Because what everyone's looking for in life is to be happy. That's really what everyone wants. Yeah, you know, what do you want? I want my kids to be happy. What do you want? I want to be happy. How are you doing? Oh, it's good. We're happy. Everyone wants Simcha. So what would be the Simcha? How could we bring Simcha into our life? And will understanding a little bit the lesson of Adar help us in bringing that Simcha into our life? All right? So that's a little bit what I want to talk about. So I want to make them an interesting point that it says in Bali Musar talk about that something when you want to know what something is, you look at what it's not. Sometimes the best way to figure out what something is, look at the opposite. When you see the opposite, and then you realize, you know, something, I don't know what I am, but I know what I'm not. Right? So, what's the opposite of Simcha? So you would think the opposite of Simcha is Atzvus, is like depression, is being sad. So Chassidikim says, the opposite of Simcha is Da'aga, is worry. Which is interesting. Why would you think the opposite of Simcha is worry? That means that a person is constantly worried. They think that there's something out there that they need to get, or there's something out there that's something that's bothering them, that's, you know, I'm worried about something. Usually what you're worried about is not right in front of you. It's something that's coming. It's something that the unknown. There's some worry out there, and that's what's staring, that's what's going to get in the way of your Simcha. So let's think about how we can kind of not let those things get in the way. All those worries and those da'agais that we're always, you know, on our mind, that's really what's taking away our Simcha. So, let's go in a little further. Simcha comes, Maral says, Simcha comes from a feeling of shlemus, of contentment, of I have everything. I have, I'm, And that's why Chazal say that the Shechina comes mit simcha shel mitzvah. Why simcha shel mitzvah? The Shechina only comes to a person when they're content, when they have, they're full, they feel shleimus. But if a person thinks that they're going to get their simcha from some materialistic thing, from something in this world, they can never really be b'simcha. Because Chazal have already told us, Mishayesh l'maneh, reisha masayim. You'll never really truly achieve simcha if the way you think you're going to achieve your simcha is by getting something, you know, something physical, something materialistic, something that, you know, you buy another this or one of those, or get one another this or another that. That's never really going to get you the simcha. Because, why? Because how could it? What's simcha? Simcha is being shalim. Simcha is feel, but you're never going to be shalim, because even if you got one thing, you're going to want the next one. So it's always going to make you just feel that I want more. It's not going to make you feel content with what you have. It's the opposite. You're just going to want to get more. So the simcha is from a satisfaction. It's from being happy with what I have. You know, so what is it that's causing all this to like, no, I'm never happy. Well, why? So I heard one time a great pshat in a pasuk from Rav Oren Reich. And the pasuk says in Koheles, it says, Mesuka shnas ha'oived. Just listen carefully, because it's a very nice pshat. The Mesuka shnas ha'oived in ma'at im harbe. A person who works, you know, they do their thing, they work, they get their parnasa. Mesuka shnas ha'oived. His sleep is sweet. He gets good sleep at night. Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes he has a little more, a little less, but he sleeps well at night. The second half of the pasuk is the hasoiva la'ashir, but the wealthy man ain't a maniach la'lishon. He can't sleep. That's what simply what the pasuk means. He can't sleep because he's thinking about the next investment and the next deal and the next, and he doesn't have enough. That's pasuk shot in the pasuk. But Rabbi Oren Reich said you could read the pasuk a little differently. The pasuk says, "Mesukas nasa oived in ma'atrim harbe." A working person has what they need; they would be satisfied. But hasoiva la'asher, the fact that the rich man has a lot, ain't a maniach l'lishon, doesn't let him, the working guy, sleep. Because what's bothering him? That the other guy has it. I would be fine if it was just me. So mesukash nasa'oive, but ain't a maniach l'lishon, and he can't sleep at night because he just thinks to himself, the other guy, what did he just get? Oh man, that I was fine a minute ago. You know, I was fine when before I knew that he got the new car or whatever. But now that he has it, now it's a problem. So the main thing that doesn't allow us to be at the simcha is looking over our shoulders to figure out what does the other guy have? What does the other person have? What is the other person, right? Very simple, right? Let's take, and again, this is not Musa over here. This is just talking about the concept, because I'm just saying, you know, ideas. But the you know, let's just take like the winter break, for example, right? If everybody was just taking it easy, relaxing, you know, going to the park, whatever, take your kids for a walk, then everyone would be fine. What's the problem? One second. How am I going to show my face after winter break? Where'd you go? Down the block to the park. What? What happened to Vail? What happened to, you know, where were you? You know, so what's... And that means there's nothing wrong with going with doing that. But the person that didn't do it, so now they feel all like, you know, it's okay, because the only problem is that the other person's the other person's bringing the ideas, and now I feel like I'm missing. I wasn't missing anything a minute ago. I'm only missing it because the other person has it. So the what makes us unhappy is this feeling of, I would say, competition, or this feeling of real, wait, if they have it, then I should have it. Then all of a sudden I'm missing something, and that's what the Maharal says. The second you're missing something, you can't be the simcha. Simcha comes from shleimus. Shleimus means I have everything. How could you have everything if you need what the other person has, and you're never going to have what the other person has, because Hashem has a plan for you, and he has a plan for them. And he doesn't have, and your plan for you is not the plan for them. So therefore, whatever you have is what you have, and whatever they have, you're never going to have what they have. So you will never be the simcha. So if a person can train themselves to kind of just ignore what's, you know, ignore and realize what you need, and maybe what you need is whatever it is that that person needs, and that's not the discussion of this. You know, but if a person can realize what they need and what they want and what they, you know, can provide, and they give that, that should be fine. And not to look over your shoulder and think, how can I get what the other person has? That will achieve a tremendous amount of simcha. And that will take away all the da'aga, the worry. Because what's the worry? The worry is, how am I going to get it? How am I going to get it? How am I going to compete? I can't keep up. But if a person is just, hey, this is good. Look, you know. So so one thing we can train ourselves in on this is that, you know, it's very Baruch Hashem proliferation of people are very careful. The Chafetz Chaim says that one of the main reasons why people are so uncareful, so much Lashon Hara, is because from when they were little, they weren't trained in Lashon Hara. You know, they were never trained. It's people like, put on tefillin, wash your hands, you know, daven, but no one ever tells their kids what to say, what not to say. So therefore, people are not mechunech in Lashon Hara. But nowadays, little children, everyone, people know about Lashon Hara. But there's another thing, is that people start talking about, hey, did you hear he just got this, so there's no Lashon Hara, but you could start saying, we don't have to talk about other people, just in general, we don't have to go look around for other people. It's not the Lashon Hara even, it's just, you know, we don't have to discuss, it shouldn't be so much discussing about other people altogether. Because the more a person just focuses on themselves, they'll be happier. It doesn't matter what they have or where they went or what they did. Even if it's not Lashon Hara, it's not a good habit that to start talking too much about what other people do. The Rav Matisyahu Salomon used to say, I said in Nevada in his house once, he said, there's a great level that people should don, you know, you want to be don lekaf schos. You see someone, and you think, was it right? Was it wrong? Did they do it? Whoa. And be down the kafs chos, they did the right thing. So he said, but there's a higher level than being down the kafs chos. Which he said, not to be down them at all. It's none of your business. They're right, they're wrong. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. Move on, you know. Person has enough to focus in their own life that they don't need to be focused so much about other people. So the more a person can focus, stop focusing so much on that, that will get rid of this Mesukah Shnasa Oved, Vasoiva La Asher, Emaniach La Lisha, and he doesn't have to worry about the Asher, he doesn't have to worry about other people, and they'll be satisfied because they will be able to be Shalim, Simcha, they'll know what they have is what they have, and that will bring them tremendous Simcha. You know, obviously, this is like the common story, whatever, but the Maisa, I heard it from a guy recently, probably 3 months ago. So there was a guy in my, we were talking, so he's you know, describing to me his wealth, and he's a tremendously wealthy guy, and he says to me, but Lamaisa says, you're much happier than I am, or anyone here is, in the whole room, because my life's pretty much a disaster, you know. He had a very sad life, and he had tragedies in his life, and he doesn't have children, and, you know, he doesn't have a family, basically. He's getting divorced. And he's like, so he has multiple trusts of over $50 million each, and, doesn't have much to do with it. But my point is not that you can't be happy, but my point is that the simple is going to come from within. The symbol is going to come from when the person realizes and is happy with what they have. Wow, I have a family. Wow, I have children. Wow, I have the brachas that Hashem has given me. Then a person can focus on that. They'll be tremendously happy. And it's only the looking over the shoulder, which is what, you know, gets in the way of that. There's a, you know, for those that are, American, so not everyone in this room, including myself, you know, but it said, you know, the one of the like the American dream, like line, a person's is like the basic tenets of life is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we're supposed to try. That's like, you know, without that, you can't be, you know, those are the basic things for a human being is entitled to: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that means that I was just thinking about it. It's like the pursuit of happiness is a steer of Menei Ubei. Is the whole concept of it makes no sense. Because if you're pursuing happiness, you're never going to get it. Because what does pursuing happiness mean? It means you're running after it. Where are you running? You think it's over there somewhere? You think that it's what the other person... I have to go get it. It's there. I'm telling you, if I get another thing, if I get that, I'll be happy. And then you ran after it, and you got it, and you're still pursuing it. So your whole life you're pursuing it, because you never actually have it. Happiness is not there that you should be pursuing and running after it. Happiness is here, and you just have to find it. You don't have to pursue it. You don't have to chase it. You don't have to go look for it somewhere else. You have to not look for it somewhere else and find it, because it's everyone has it already. So if we're told that we have to be pursuing happiness, so what they're telling us out there is that the only way to achieve it is by finding something that's supposedly going to make you happy, and that's not true. So I think the first lemaisa is get accustomed to focusing on what we have, focusing on the brachas that Hashem given us, focus internally and realize, wow, we have a lot going for us. And, you know, not be so busy in general with what everyone else is up to, you know, in general. So that's one thing about Simcha. The second thing, obviously, about Simcha is bitachon, like we said. Because the other thing which shteres Simcha, like we said in the beginning, is daga, is worry. What's going to be if this, and what's going to be if that, and what's going to be tomorrow? It's not usually about today. Today is usually just fine. It's just tomorrow, and what's going to be. And a little dose of bitachon goes a long way in curing some of that worriness and saying, it's going to be good. It's been pretty good till now. Look where we are. I've had days that are better than others, but look where we are. You know, and Baruch Hashem, we have families, and Baruch Hashem, we're doing well. And so a little bit of bitachon will cure a little bit some of that da'aga, some of that worry about tomorrow, and let us focus again about today. And today, things are good. You know, so if, again, so these two things, it's the combination of the bitachon, realizing Hashem has taken care of us till now, He'll continue to take care of us. Hashem has given us what we need, He'll continue to give us what we need. And the competition, and again, I don't mean that there's any, I'm not talking about anyone with having whatever you have. It's but the point is to be satisfied with whatever it is. That's the real point. So, the satisfaction of having what, realizing what you have is will do the trick. That's going to bring us simcha. So, why Adar? What happened in Adar? Adar is when we realized that even though we didn't see Hashem with us all the time, He was really with us all the time. And all the stuff that we thought was going on that looked bad was really good, right? So all the I'm not going to go through the whole story, but piece by piece of the story, the Gemara in Megillah says, which pasuk in the whole Tehillim describes the story of Purim? The Gemara in Megillah says, there's one pasuk in Tehillim that we say every day that describes the story of Purim. In the story, it's hafachta mispedi l'mochali. You took my mispaid, that which was a hesped, which was like a death call, eulogy. Hafachta, you turned it around l'mochali for to be my simcha. It's that the very thing that we thought was bad was turning out to be good, and that's step by step through the story. What does that show us? That we don't really, you know, it could be this is the thing that you need. Hashem is behind us. So that bitachon, that realization coming to Adar, wow, Hashem is behind us. And this sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's this, but it's all getting us to where we have to be, and it's all part of it. So let's not over, you know, think it. Let's not over, you know, realize that it's not all in our hands. And the second we can take a step back, that da'aga, that worry about tomorrow is going to go away, and then we'll have that simcha, and that's what Adar is teaching us. So the simcha of Adar is this simcha of bitachon, is realizing Hashem is with us, and that allows a person to appreciate what they have. Because if we would take away all those worries and take away all the what ifs and, you know, what's going to be tomorrow, and focus for a minute on today. Wow, this life is, you know, I didn't realize how good we have it, you know. So we can actually be besimcha. So, you know, so I think that, and the final point of this nekuda is, so why is it so bad that we said that in the Teuchacha, it says that why did the Teuchacha come? Why are you going to get all these things in the same? Because Takas Hashalay Avarata as Hashem Elokecha Besimcha. You weren't Besimcha when you served Hashem. How could you not be Besimcha? You did mitzvahs. You're doing the Ratzon Hashem. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're here so many thousands of years in the Golos, and we're doing mitzvahs. And we're like, wow, we should be so proud of ourselves that everything, it's unbelievable that we can be accomplishing what we're accomplishing. And as a klal, and as families, and as yechidim, we're able to train our children, to do mitzvahs, and we ourselves are doing the right things. And we're like, so we have such a great bracha in our life that we're able to do what we're doing. And everyone should like look at themselves in the mirror and say, wow, look where we are. This is unbelievable, right? We're able to keep mitzvahs the way we're keeping them. We're able to serve Hashem the way we're serving Hashem. We're able to raise our families the way we're raising our families, giving the chinuch that we want to give them. And we're not besimcha. So what does that mean? That means really, obviously, you're looking for something else. If you're not besimcha with that, that means you're looking for something else. This is not what you're looking for. So that doesn't make Hashem very happy. Because that means that after all that, you're still not happy. What are you looking for? Oh, you're looking for the pursuit of happiness. You think that's going to make you happy. That's not going to be there. That's not going to make you happy. But the fact that you're not happy with what you have, with that alone, of the takas, of the worshiping of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's serving Hashem, and being able to be where we are today, and you're still not besimcha. So that means that there's something else out there that you think is besimcha. And that's the problem. So So this point is that to just chaza over is that the two main problems, the two main things, it's really one, but the two main things which take away a person's simcha is the sense of you know, what does the other person have? I wouldn't say the jealousy even, but just like, you know, it's even not jealousy, because, oh, I don't want them to have it. Jealousy is like, I don't want them to have it. Let's say it's fine that they have it, but I want it also. So like, you know, and the being busy with what's going on out there, that takes away our simcha. And then I'll go about tomorrow. But you take away those two things and you say, hey, where are we today? And hey, what do I have right now? We could be the simcha. So it's really the simcha's here already. We don't have to pursue it. We don't have to chase it. You don't have to go find it somewhere because we have it already. We just have to make sure all these things don't get in the way. So if we can kind of tone down the focusing out there, like we said, even talking about so much, you know, everyone else's business and talking about our own business and adding a little dose of bitachon, we would be able to be in a tremendous simcha. Now, l'maisa, there's another gavaldika point that is very special, an akuda that's brought out in the parashas of Shmois. So, you know, we're still in the Sefer Shmois, and these parashas of Shmois is all one unit of Shoivavim Tat, whatever. But the point is that there's one akuda about this which is very unique to women. And we learn this from Miriam. Why was Miriam named Miriam? If you think about it, Miriam is not a very nice name. Because Miriam is mar. It's bitter. Why would someone name their daughter bitter? You know, think about it. Miriam mar, this is what you name it. Why? Because Miriam was born. Aaron, maybe some people here know this better than I do, but I think Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when they left Mitzrayim, and Miriam was 86, 6 years older. Aaron was 83 and Miriam was 86. So Chazal tells us it was 86 years before they left was the hardest part of the Shibud Mitzrayim. They were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Some years were harder than others, but the last 86 years were the most intense years. So it means the year Miriam was born was the year that Paray made the work hard for the Jews. So her parents saw that, and they named her Mar. That's Miriam. But who's Miriam? Miriam, what does it say about her? She saw Moshe was born. So she saw the potential, even in that situation, for Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Goyal. So she said, oh, first of all, she convinced her parents she convinced her mother to get married and convinced Amram to take back her mother so that they would have Moshe Rabbeinu. So she saw, why are you running to have Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't you see it's getting worse? No, because Miriam has the ability to, even when it's really bad, see past that and say it's going to be good eventually. Miriam is the one that when it's really bad and it's going down, if anything, she sees it's temporary, but I'm going to see the good. So she says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Goyal of Klal Yisrael, is going to be born soon. We have to make sure he's born. And then when he's born, he's about to die, who looks after him to make sure? But Miriam, it means it was far, rachayk. Moshe Rabbeinu is this little baby imagine just for a minute. We read the pasuk so often, but think about it for a minute, right? A little baby in like a teva, like this, and you throw him down the river. So, I mean, the likelihood that he's going to survive is pretty shvach. What does she do? She stands up, I'm watching over him, because he's the goyel of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to make sure that he's redeemed, that he's saved. And she saved his life. What do we know about Miriam? We know that after they left Mitzrayim, Miriam led the Jewish women in song after Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, "Vatikach Miriam haninviya es hatoif biyada." She took the instruments and she sang. It doesn't say the men had instruments. What? Only Miriam had instruments. Why? The answer is because the men didn't really think that there was going to be any reason to say Shira. Why would we bring instruments? Look, we're slaves for this long. We're getting out by the skin of our teeth. That's it. Fine. So let's get out of here. Miriam's like, no. There's going to be a chance for us soon. You're going to see something you never believed you would see. You're going to see a miracle and I'm going to bring my instruments. You're bringing your instruments now? How did she even have them? When she was making the matzah? No, she had these instruments the whole time. She was waiting because she was able to lift herself up and say, I'm going to see the moment that we're going to be able to say Shira, and I'm going to make instruments, and I'm bringing them with me. And I'm going to keep them for the time that we have to be able to say the Shira. And then when she finally had it, she had the instruments, and the men didn't. So it means that Miriam was the one that with her bitachon, no matter how in the temporary the moment was, didn't look so great, she was able to lift herself up and say, no, there's going to be a good moment there. And we're going to sing that Shira when it comes. So what does that tell me? That tells me that this is that same Midah. That Midah of, it's going to be good. The Bitachon of Miriam, it's going to be good. And Hashem, and that Bitachon is another technique to give us Simcha. So there's another thing we can learn. So the first thing is, we have it. It's good. It really is good. And don't look around and be satisfied. And don't let the fact that maybe the neighbor, the this, the that, no, don't let that get in the way. Don't think so much and look around so much. Be happy. Be realize that you have what Hashem gives us exactly what you need. And don't let that get in the way of the simple. That's number one. Number two is the bitachon, to realize, hey, it's pretty good. I don't have to be worried what's going to be. But then even if it's not that great, you have the bitachon that tomorrow is going to be good also. And that was Miriam. That Miriam said, tomorrow's going to be great. Tomorrow, and even when it wasn't that great, she made instruments and she said, there's going to be a moment in time that it's going to be great. So these are the three things that the recipe for bringing Simcha into our life. So when we're, if things are really good, but we're just worried, we have so many things to do and so many errands to run, and how am I going to have a car to do, and how am I going to do this, and how am I going to do that, and like, it's so busy. No, but, things are very, very good, and don't let that get in the way of the simcha, because Hashem gives the karech that you need, and Hashem gives the karech to be able to do what you need to do, and appreciate, why do I have all these friends? Because I have a family, I have so many brachas in my life. So that's going to bring the simcha. And then, how come they? No, focus on yourself, and don't focus so much about what's going on out there. And the third thing is that even if you taka do run into a pretty tough moment, but the bitachon of Miriam, that to look past it, and say, this is not the way Hashem wants it for me forever. This is going to be that moment that we'll see past it. We'll sing the Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will also bring us Simcha. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to take this, these three components, and really bring some Simcha and live with Simcha, because what we really all want in life is joy, is Simcha, and to appreciate that Simcha, is going to really bring us to appreciate the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring real Simcha, and Mitzvah Hashem, it should be in the sky now in Adar, and continue out through the year, Mitzvah Hashem. Amen.